Good morning, everyone. What a blessing it is to be here with all of you today. I want to welcome you here to Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. Thank you for being here. What a privilege it is to worship together and to study God's Word. I want to invite you to pray with me one more time, please, if you could. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you. God, you are almighty. You're the creator. You're totally in control. And God, I thank you for this morning. I ask God that right now that you would open our hearts, open our eyes. God, give us sensitivity to your spirit. And God, give us insight into your word. And God, I pray that this morning, as we study your word, that you would help us to know it and understand it, to know you more. And God, I pray that we wouldn't just hear it or read it or listen to it. But I pray, God, that we would do it. I pray that we would live it out. And so I thank you. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your unending love. Thank you, God, for giving us life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many years ago, I heard this illustration. And so I cannot take credit for it. But I want to share this with you because I think it applies so directly to what we're looking at, what we're going to study this morning. And so how many parents do we have here today? Anyone? Anyone a parent? Okay. That means you have children if you're a parent. Anybody here that's ever been a child? Raise your hand. Okay, that was a test. If you didn't raise your hand, you failed the test. Okay, all of us have been a child, right? Okay. Alright, anyway. Think about this. What would you do? What would you do? Whether you're a parent or not, just think about this. What would you do if you had a teenage child, young person, if you had a teenage child and you asked them to clean their room now? Okay? But yet you hear one of these three responses. And let me share these responses with you. Okay? Remember, you asked your teenage child to clean their room now. Because it's totally messy. Look at like this picture. Okay? So it looks like this. And you ask them to clean it now. And they have nothing else to do. There's no other responsibilities. Clean your room now. Here's three responses. Tell me what you think. Dad, I really enjoyed listening to what you just said. And I was really convicted about cleaning my room. I will pray about it. And I'll get back to you. How about this one? Dad, I heard what you said, and so I'm currently studying three books that I bought, that I just bought about cleaning my room. I also found a very powerful song that I found on iTunes, and I like to sing about cleaning my room. How about this last one? Dad, I heard what you said. I looked it up. I researched it. I did some studying. I looked it up in Hebrew. I looked it up in Greek. And I will meet with my small group this week and we will discuss about cleaning my room. And I'll pray about it some more. Now, if my son responded to me in that way, if I asked him to clean his room now, I would think he has gone crazy. Right? And some other things would happen. But if I ask my son to clean his room, I expect him to clean his room, right? Any other response would be totally unacceptable. Because the proper response to a command like that, to a directive like that, would be to receive what I had just said and to do it, right? You don't have to pray about cleaning your room. Okay, that's great that you want to pray. That's great you want to study about it. No, you just clean your room now. It needs to be done. Look at that. And that's not our house. Okay, our house is worse. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. But, right, when you think of the scenario, you're like, Pastor Steve, this is totally ridiculous. This is not real life. This is so far-fetched. Nobody would ever act like this. Or unless you have a really crazy child, right? Yes, and I agree, this is ridiculous, but if I really step back and think about it, and if I'm honest with myself, I must admit to you all that I am guilty of acting like this in regards to God's Word. In regards to God's Word. You know, I've been a pastor for, I think, over 10 years now, and I've been a Christian for almost 30 years. To give you an example, I've read, I've studied, I've taught countless lessons and sermons about the command of Jesus to love just like He loves us, right? He died on the cross. He gave His life when we didn't deserve it. He poured out His grace and mercy upon us. You know, I've taught lessons and sermons about loving like Jesus, and yet I often find myself making excuses for not loving people like Jesus loves me. And let me give you an example. And many of you have heard about this before, but the reason I share about this is because, first of all, I want to ask that you guys continue to pray for us. Because we need God and we need your prayer. Many of you know that our family is in the process of adopting a child, adopting a little girl overseas. And this has been something that's been on my wife Debbie's heart, that her heart has been broken for orphans for the longest time, ever since she was a teenager. And to make a long story short, when she had brought up the idea of adopting a child, my answer was no. My answer was no. And, I gave a lot of reasons why we should not adopt, why it wouldn't be good to adopt a child right now. But do you want to know why I really said no? Well, if you don't want to know, I don't care. I'm going to tell you. the real reason why I said no is because, and this is just to name a few things, I'm busy. It's expensive. It might make me uncomfortable. It's a lot of work. And I might have to sacrifice too much. But what happened to loving like Jesus? What about Jesus' command to love like He loves me? But hey, you know what? I really enjoy that sermon that I've heard before from Pastor Terry when he talked about the love of Jesus Christ. And I learned so much when I prepared that lesson about loving like Jesus and loving the way that He loves us. I learned so much. Isn't the love of Jesus amazing? But I really don't think it would be wise for us to bring a child that has no family, that has no home, into our family and into our home. I don't think it'd be wise. Friends, do you see the disconnect here? Do you see my problem? Do you see my sin? Let's get a little deeper. Do you see my sin? I was guilty of rejecting the Word of God. And the reason I rejected the Word of God is because of my own sin, my own selfishness, and my desire for comfort and for safety. That was really the motivating factors in that decision, in that answer at that time. But I'm thankful that for God and His patience, and for God in His sovereignty, in His power, as He continues to work in my heart and make me more like Jesus, I'm thankful that ultimately He dealt with this heart issue that I had. And we have decided, right? We've decided to pursue and start to go forward with this process of adopting a little girl from overseas. And you know, I could go on and talk about the ways that God has provided for us, as we ultimately decided to start this process. And in the same way, I could go on and talk about the many other areas of my life. We could be here all day if I shared with you about all the areas of my life that God is still refining to conform to His Word. But one lesson that I want to share with you that we've been learning, that Debbie and I have come to learn in this process, is that we never want to be content with simply hearing and knowing about the Word of God and not acting on it. We never want to be guilty and content and satisfied by simply just hearing about God's commands, the commands of Jesus Christ, the truth of His Word, and knowing about the Word of God and not acting on it. We don't want to reject God's Word. Even when it's hard, even when it requires sacrifice, we want to obey no matter what the cost. At least we'd like to say we would like to obey no matter what the cost. Because we're learning more and more every day that following Jesus is more important than following anyone else and following anything else in this world. And here's the key truth that I want to share with you this morning, that I want us to remember, that I want us to meditate on. This one truth, okay, is this. Genuine faith. And you can look in your bulletin, there's an outline there for you to follow along. The key truth for us to meditate on this morning, that I want to encourage you to meditate on, is that genuine faith in Jesus Christ is revealed in love and obedience. Genuine faith in Jesus Christ is revealed in love and obedience. And it's this journey of obedience that James is talking about. The half-brother of Jesus, right? James is talking about in chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 27. And if you were to turn there in your Bibles, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. You will see that the mention of the Word of God is all throughout this passage. It's even before this passage. In verse 18, you see the Word of God mentioned. In verse 21, verse 22, verse 23, verse 25. And we see, if you were to look in the verses in the passage preceding this one, verses 1 through 18, James, as we've been learning about, James answers the question of how we should respond to trials. The test of trials and challenges in our lives. But now here in verses 19 through 27, James addresses how we are to respond to the truth of God's Word. Remember, genuine faith in Jesus Christ is revealed in love and obedience. And so I want to invite you to turn there, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. I want to read this passage to you, and you can follow along silently. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Now, just before I read the rest of this, remember who he's talking to. He is talking to the Christian Jews, the followers of Jesus that are dispersed all throughout. Okay, and so they have this lineage, this background, okay, this knowledge of the Word of God. And he's speaking to these dear brothers and sisters. Dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So how does a follower of Jesus Christ, with a genuine faith, respond? How should we then, as followers of Jesus, respond to the truth of God's Word? And that brings us to our first point in our outline. Genuine faith receives the Word of God humbly. Genuine faith receives the Word of God humbly. And when you look at verse 19, James is saying, church, let's prioritize listening. Let's be quick to listen. He also says, let's be quiet. Let's be slow to speak. And then he also says, what? Be slow to anger. And so, brothers and sisters, we must humbly approach the Word of God. And what does that mean? What might that look like? Humbly approaching the Word of God means laying aside our preconceived notions of what we want or what we think it says, and putting down our defenses. How often do we get defensive when someone tries to tell us what we should do? Or what we must do? I know for me, my defenses go up. Who are you to tell me what to do? You see, to receive humbly the Word of God, we need to put down our defenses. We need to lay aside our preconceived notions. Don't we often come to God's Word talking? Does that make sense? Have you ever gone to God's Word talking? Well, think about it like this. Aren't we quick sometimes to think about what we want instead of what God wants? You know, we're searching, we're reading God's Word, and we're trying to find that verse that communicates what we want. Oftentimes we come to God's Word talking when we need to be slow to speak, to be quiet, and we need to listen. We need to humble ourselves. You know, when we're quick to speak and slow to listen, we're like people in an argument. How many of you have ever been in an argument? I know, you guys are so good. You've never argued with anybody, right? You guys are so Christ-like. Actually, you got in a lot of arguments. But when we don't humble ourselves and allow God, go to God's Word humbly, it's like we're people in an argument who aren't really listening to one another. I don't know if you've ever been in an argument where you don't even care. It's like they're talking to the other person that you're arguing with, but all you're thinking about is what? What you're going to say next, right? All you're doing is you're consumed and focused on formulating what you're going to say in response to whatever it is that they're saying. And see, when we have that mindset, when we don't humble ourselves, when we don't come to God's Word humbly, we're not quick to hear and slow to speak, but instead it's we act as if we hate to listen and if we're anxious to argue. Take, for example, if you look towards the end of that passage, what does James tell us to do? What does he tell us that true religion looks like? He says it means to look after the orphans and the widows, right? Now, of course, James isn't saying this is the only thing you do. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is all you need to do. You need to care for orphans and care for widows. But no, he's making a point here. And it reminds me of what I just shared earlier with you about this adoption process that our family is in. You know, immediately when we hear things like this, oftentimes we start to make excuses. We start to make excuses for us to reject what is being commanded or what is being taught or what God is teaching us or saying to us or how He's directing us. And I want to tell you that you're not alone, and I want to tell myself that I'm not alone in this failure. Because if you really think about it, if you really look into God's Word, you would see that this has been true about God's people all throughout history. Instead of humbly listening to God's Word, the people of God have oftentimes resisted it, have rejected it. Wasn't this the response of God's people to the prophets of the Old Testament who proclaimed His Word? Wasn't this true about Jesus who spoke the words of the Father? Wasn't this true about the Apostle Paul? One of the greatest Christians that ever walked this earth, right, that ever lived. This happened even to him as he preached in the synagogues. James is saying here to the people of God, us, brothers, sisters, be quick to listen. And then you look at verse 21. He tells them what? He tells them to get rid of all moral filth and evil. And there's this vivid imagery here of what he means to get rid of it, to take it off. It's like taking off a piece of clothing, like a jacket. Okay? You can think of it as that, taking off sin, getting rid of it. Getting rid of all moral filth and evil. Now, dear friends, church, aren't the ways of the world so different than God's ways? I want to ask you this morning. Now, we're fully aware of the ways that we're tempted. We're fully aware of the sin and the brokenness that's all around. I want to ask you this morning, what ways of the world are most tempting to you today? Because here's the truth. You know, we don't have to act or put on a show that none of us are tempted, because the truth of life in this broken world that's broken because of sin is that we are all tempted. What ways of the world are most tempting to you this morning? You know, and I don't want to point to, because we all know the obvious sins, right? Lying, cheating, stealing, killing, all these things, right? Drugs. But I want you to consider this. What are those, as one author puts it, what are those respectable sins that we are guilty of? Those sins, what does that author mean by respectable sins? It's those sins that we have become desensitized to. That they have just become a way of our lives, and yet we don't even recognize that they are totally in opposition to the Word of God. And what might that look like? You might be thinking, it could be in regards to money. It could be in regards to our career. And why and how much, how we work and why we work. It could be about how we view ourselves. It could be a desire to gain approval from other people. It could be, like I shared before with me, my struggle with comfort and safety. Now see, I could easily justify that. Oh, I just want to take care of my family. I'm trying to make decisions to best take care of my family. And if we bring another child into our family, that's going to change everything. It's going to be so hard. And what about, what if this kid doesn't, you know, what if they're mean to our kids? What if they hit one of our kids or something? Well, that's going to be putting our kids in danger. See, I could easily justify my desire for comfort. Oh, I'm just trying to take care of my family. Well, what about the Word of God? What about giving my children an example of Jesus? You see, James tells us to put aside the sinful and the selfish ideas of the world and to come humbly to His Word. And you look at the second part of verse 21, James gives us really good news as he talks about the Word that is what? The Word that is planted in us, planted in you and me as Christians, as followers of Jesus. The Word of God is planted in you. Now, to grasp what James is talking about here, I want to turn your attention to Jeremiah chapter 31. So if you have your Bible, turn there. I just put a couple verses up on the screen, but I'm going to read to you verses 31 through 34. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet, right? It's found in the Old Testament. He was speaking to the people who were not living up to God's law, not living up to God's standard. In fact, they were not keeping it at all. And Jeremiah gives them this promise, the promise of a new covenant. And here it is, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will give their wickedness. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. And according to Jeremiah's prophecy, God was going to write His law on the hearts of His people. He was going to plant His Word in their hearts. And so here's the thing. God puts His law on our hearts. And you all know, right? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, what also is true about you on the inside? That God's Holy Spirit is also in our hearts. So God puts His law in our hearts, His Spirit in our hearts, and it's the Spirit of God through the Word of God that moves us. And we find eternal life in this Word. Now, the language here is very clear when we read this, when we study this, we know that all of creation is broken, right? All of creation is broken because of sin. And we are all in need of a Savior. And His name is Jesus. And dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, I want you to know this. We can never be saved by working. You can never be saved by working. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you can't do. But we are only saved by humbly receiving the Word of God. And that's Jesus. Jesus. We're only saved through faith, right? By God's grace through faith. And when we receive God's Word humbly, we are then to put that faith, to put those words into action. How many of you have ever felt dry spiritually? I know that's kind of a out there concept. Anyone ever felt dry? I know, I've talked to people, and you guys are sitting there. I felt spiritually dry before, but I want you to know this. Oftentimes, we feel disconnected from God. We feel spiritually dry because of this fact. We haven't humbly received the Word of God, and we haven't chosen to live it out. Because I do know this about life with Jesus. It's a life full of joy, hope, peace, regardless of circumstances, regardless of trials and challenges. It doesn't mean we're happy all the time. It doesn't mean I'm smiling all the time, but it means I'm trusting all the time. And I know that I have a Savior, I have a God, I have a Helper. I have the power of God in me. I have a friend, His name is Jesus. We must choose to receive His Word humbly. And secondly, genuine faith. The second point in your outline, genuine faith, not only are we to receive it humbly, receive the Word humbly, but genuine faith means that we obey the Word with our whole heart. Genuine faith means you obey God's Word with your whole heart. When's the last time you did anything with your whole heart? Can you tell me? Anyone? Maybe it's today, maybe it's this morning, and that's great. When's the last time you commended yourself with doing something with your whole heart? Well, we have not really listened to the Word of God if we have not obeyed the Word of God. When we hear the Word, we have a choice to make. We can either accept it or we can reject it. And if there is no action after hearing and knowing and understanding the Word, then clearly, what does that mean? It means that I have rejected it. Because this is the essence of faith. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we will obey Jesus. We will do what He says. And we will take His Word seriously. And to think differently is really to fool ourselves. Brothers, sisters, friends, I share this and I'm thankful for this passage because I want us to consider that question. I don't want us to just throw it off and think, yes, I already accepted Jesus Christ in my heart as my Lord and my Savior. We need to remember that genuine faith means you receive the Word humbly and you obey it with your whole heart. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect or choose what's right all the time, but it means that our priority, our desire, our longing as a follower of Jesus is to follow Him and to do what He says. But see, that all begins with trust. It's not legalistic. It's not about just following rules with God. It's because He loves me that I know what love is. I know how amazing His love is, and in turn, I love Him. And I want to follow Him. I want to do what He says. I want to care about what He says. Look at verse 23. James says that we're blind. He says we're blind to our true spiritual condition if we claim to have heard and received and accepted the Word of God, yet we fail to act on it. And what illustration, what example does he give? It's like a person that looks in a mirror. And the mirrors back then, they weren't made of glass like ours are today. What they would do is they would polished a piece of metal as best that they could. And so you could still see a reflection. You could see yourself. But it just wasn't as vivid as we're able to today. But he says, James is saying, he gives us this example. It's like if we were to look at ourselves in the mirror, and then and when we step away, we automatically forget. Which is true, right? If I'm not looking at myself, then I don't know every little detail about what I look like. So it is with the Word of God. How often do we just glance at it, and then when we walk away, we forget everything that it said? How serious do you take God's Word, brother, sister? James' words here, it reminds me of this passage and the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. And I just put one of the verses up here on the screen, but I'm going to read you this whole section. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 27. Jesus is saying this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And what did it do? It fell with a great crash. If your spiritual life is built on merely listening to the words of Jesus and not focused on understanding and obeying them, and dear friends, there is great cause for concern. Because one day, if this is our attitude, if this is our inclination to just listen and reject the Word of God, then one day your life will eternally and ultimately end in destruction. Now I know this is not an upbeat truth, right? If I choose to reject God and reject what He says, then I will get what I want. I will not be with God for the rest of forever. And I will suffer the consequences of not being with God. You know, a pastor once said, to deceive is bad. To deceive yourselves is worse. To deceive yourself about your soul is worst of all. I'll read that again. To deceive is bad. To deceive yourself is worse. To deceive yourself about your soul is worst of all. Dear brother and sister, you know, week after week, day after day, we listen to the Word of God. Some of us, most of us. But here's the question. Do you receive it humbly? Do you obey it with your whole heart? You know, oftentimes we live out God's Word, and I am guilty of this. Oftentimes, I live out God's Word only when it's convenient and only when it's comfortable to me. And this is a warning for me. This is an encouragement for me this morning, because if this describes you and your habit and your life, where we just pick and choose what fits in what we want, then I will tell you this, and I tell myself and I remind myself this, that is not genuine faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe God has called you here today for this very specific reason, so that you would allow Him to search your heart, and that you would be able to answer that question, do you really trust Jesus not only as your Savior that's forgiven you of all of your sin, that died on the cross and rose from the dead. Not only do you believe that He's your Savior, and that because you've been forgiven of your sin, you've gained entrance to eternal life with Him, but maybe God has called you here to answer the question, is Jesus your Lord? Is He your authority? Is He your Lord? Is He the one that you will surrender your life to and follow and take seriously His Word and His commands and His truth? Because here's another temptation. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when we start talking about obeying God and we start talking about obeying His law, what automatically do people jump to and start thinking about? Whoa. Don't be legalistic, Pastor Steve. You don't have to be legalistic. You know, God's not saying you have to follow every single thing in order to be saved. Right? We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith, aren't we, Pastor Steve? Yes, I agree with you. We're saved by God's grace through faith in Him alone. And it's not of ourselves so that no one can boast. It's because of what He has done. But see, God is not about legalism. God is not about rituals. God has always been about a relationship. And that's why Jesus came. But see, James, he says, right, not to turn from the law because why? Because the law of Jesus Christ is good. The law of God is good. The perfect law that James referred to here in verse 25. It's not the Old Testament law as they knew it, like in the times of Moses. Because what was that covenant all about? And what was that law all about? It's pretty much, in summary, if they would obey all of the laws, then they would be blessed. If they disobeyed the laws of God, then they would be cursed. But see, just like we read in Jeremiah 31, Jesus was going to bring a new covenant. Jesus was going to bring this new promise, this new agreement, where He was the one that was going to pay the price once and for all for our sin. And it's by His grace through faith that we now can be saved. We are now under the new covenant because of what Jesus did on the cross, because He died and He rose from the dead. You see, that's the words of Christ and the truth of Christ that frees us from slavery to sin and bondage in this world. Salvation, redemption, love, grace. You see, how does James end this verse in verse 25? He tells us what about following Jesus, following the law, following God's Word. He tells us that glorious blessing is to be experienced when we do what? When we obey the Word of God. You know, I encourage you to come and talk to me. Not just today after service, but in the days ahead. Come and talk to me. I would love to share with you some of the greatest blessings in my life that have come when I have experienced the truth of God's Word and when I have chosen to obey it and live it out. Some of the greatest blessings in my life. Will you humbly receive God's Word? Will you obey it with all of your heart? Again, this is not a call for you to be perfect. Again, this is about priority. This is about perspective. This is about the condition of your heart. Will you choose to humbly receive it? Will you choose to wholeheartedly live it? I mean, you look at the end here. You know, one thing I forgot to mention that I wanted to talk about in verse 25 is that there's a difference between just hearing the Word of God, but actually and actually looking intently into the Word of God. And James makes this distinction, this contrast. And there's an encouragement here that it's not enough just to listen to the Word of God. It's not enough just to read the words of God even. We need to seek to understand the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to know God, and then choose to live it out and be obedient to it. To experience what? To experience the glorious blessing of obedience to the Word of God. You see, when we don't really know God, we really don't know His Word, then we just see the Bible as a bunch of rules. But when you get to know God and you really understand His Word, you start to experience the blessing of life with Jesus. And so you see, James ends in verse 26 and 27, at least the section that we're looking at. There's three examples of genuine faith and what it might look like. You know, and James is really wise in his use of these words, talking about ritual and worship. And really, he's referring to this ceremonial public type of worship that these guys would know about. Instead of just saying, really, it's a heart issue, guys. You need to check your heart. He's speaking to them in terms that they would understand. And he's saying, this is real worship, guys. And it starts with a controlled tongue. And it's kind of strange, right? Why is he bringing up gossip? Why is he talking about controlling our words and our tongue and what comes out of our mouth? Well, here's the reason. Because what comes out of our mouth, it starts in our heart. Right? A controlled tongue. What does that display? How is a controlled tongue a display of genuine faith? Because it displays a changed heart. It displays a heart that is being renewed and transformed by Jesus Christ. It's a heart that humbly has received the Word and desires to live it out. Because then when the heart has the truth of God's Word in it, it's being changed, it's being molded to be more and more like Jesus' heart. And then what's in the heart flows out, right? A controlled tongue. And if you want to know, again, how important it is that we mind our words and we control our tongues, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says that when He comes back, we're going to have to give an account for every empty word that we've ever spoken. We're going to have to give an account to the words that we've said to people. And I ask you, dear brothers, sisters, this is for you, church. What words are in your heart today? Yeah, maybe you're thinking, maybe your mind goes to gossip and how you just shared that one thing that you shouldn't have shared with that one person that you shouldn't have even been talking to about that one thing. But maybe I want to challenge you also to consider and to go a little deeper even and to consider, is God's Word in your heart? Because that's the cool thing. That's the blessing of God's Word. When it's in your heart, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth. That's what's going to come out of your life. That's what people are going to experience when they're around you, when they spend time with you. They're going to be able to experience the love, the grace, the hands, the feet of Jesus Christ. Because that Word of God has taken root in you, and now you are living it out. And it's not just lip service. See, another example of genuine faith is a compassionate ministry. And what do we have to have in order to have compassion on someone or in a situation? It means we have to love. You see, that's why James points out true religion, right? That's acceptable to God is to care for the orphans and the widows. And what did those people represent back then? Those were the people that could not, they were helpless. They could not take care of themselves. They could not survive in the society. Orphans and widows. And yet, James says, real religion is caring for these people. Now remember what I said, it's not just a call, oh, my ultimate priority in life is just to care for orphans and widows only. No, that's not the point. The point is that if we have received God's Word and we choose to follow it and live it out, we are going to do what Jesus says. And what is the greatest, what is the new command? What is the greatest command in all the Bible? Does anyone know? Love God, right? Love God and love your neighbor. But see, Jesus took it even further, and He said to the disciples, I give you this new command, love one another, which is not new, but love one another just as I have loved you. You see, even just that command, will we take that command seriously? To love one another just like Jesus. You see, a mark of genuine faith is when we, is a compassionate ministry, when we seek to provide and sacrifice, when we willingly sacrifice for the benefit of others, when we are willing to give up and let go and to use what God has given us and to hold on to it loosely, and we're willing to release it and let it go and use it to be a blessing to other people. You see, in order to be compassionate, we must be selfless and not selfish. Another mark of genuine faith, and this is, I'll finish here, is a clean life. And what's James talking about? He's talking about being holy. He's talking about being set apart. He's talking about the fact that we, in Christ, were set apart. We are no longer to conform to the ways of the world, no longer to conform to the evil ways of the world, but we have now been set free from sin. And we are now set apart for God and His plan and purpose. We have His Holy Spirit. We have His perfect Word. And we have all the power and everything that we need to live it out. And so I ask you, dear brother, dear sister, will you receive God's Word humbly? And will you choose to do it with all of your heart? Because the truth is that there's a world out there, and someone may be sitting next to you today that is lost and is dying and needs a Savior. And His name is Jesus. And maybe God is calling you to be His hands and His feet and His mouthpiece. And if you would just die to yourself and share Jesus, someone might live. And so I encourage you, dear brothers, as we look at this passage, will you trust Jesus today? Will you receive His Word? And will you live it out? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You. God, You are Almighty. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We give You all glory, honor, and praise because it's all Yours. And God, I thank You for Your Word. Your Word that we can stand upon. The Word that teaches us about who You are and about who You created us to be. And how we can live this life to the fullest. And God, I pray that You would help us. That You would give us a desire to receive it. To know it. And to live it out. And God, I pray that as we live out Your Word as a church, together as Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, that we will see a change in our families, that we will see a change in our neighborhood, that we will see a change in this world. And so, God, we ask for Your help. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we respond to God. You know, if you made some decision, if you want to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come up and share that with me so that I can pray with you. If you God is speaking to you in some way this morning, please come and share with me and allow me to pray with you. Or if you just want to pray up here on the steps as we sing this song, I invite you to come as we sing.